You take your bathtub that is in cast iron, you put your pasta in it, you cook your pasta, and when you're done, you reuse the water to take your bath. So it's already warm.
You know the fold-out beds that
Yeah.
like would fold out from the wall? That's what the bathtub comes out of the refrigerator. So like the refrigerator doors double as the bathtub and then they fold down. It takes forever to fill it though because you have the water bottle, filler to fill it. It's so slow, but it's really convenient.
Yes, tiny
Diddle
house.
dum dum, diddle dum dum. There was a turtle by the name of Bert, and Bert the turtle was very alert. When danger threatened him, he never got hurt. He knew just what to do. He's Hello,
got
and
the
welcome to
shape
another episode
of
of
a
Dust
bird.
HQ.
Got the
Today, we're
shape
talking
of
about
a bird.
solo scenarios, solo co-op scenarios that you can play with a friend or by yourself, because given the times, you may not have many friends that you're able to play with. But we have a couple friends here today to chat about it. Of course, myself, we have Greg, and we have
Hello.
Jared.
Oh, time to crack open a cold one. Thanks for having
Nice.
Well timed. Thank you guys for getting on today and for reminding me that we need to keep this going and keep recording some fun episodes. So we got some cool stuff to kind of go over. I know we've chatted about solo scenarios a decent amount in the past and just kind of the getting the concepts ready for them and how do we make it happen and chatting about these were ideas we had and yada yada yada. So we finally have some things out there. And Greg, you set up an amazing way for people to find these, not only these, but other scenarios.
No, thank you. It's basically on dustusa.com. You have now a new button that is called Play More. And on this, when you click on this button, you will be able to find progressively set up all the scenarios that we have published through the newsletters or all the official scenarios that we have been playing during Dust events. So you will find the ones from the Paradise Lost campaign that we are playing right now online. You're going to be able to find the ones from the previous campaign, Endless War, the official scenarios that have been published by Dust Studio in the past. You will also find the scenarios that have been played in events like the Dusty Dinner or the Picnic in the Dust that we have been organizing. And probably in the not so far future, I'm going to be able also to set up the scenarios that Europe has have been playing for a few years. So basically, I was trying to make it so that we really have a database of all the scenarios easily accessible and categorized, so that you can really play them as a series or by themselves, and it's easy to pick up, to download, and to have on your phone, your tablet, your computer, or just to print at home as you wish.
So now
So.
you absolutely have zero excuse for not having a good scenario at the ready.
Yes, you never have an excuse to not have a scenario anyway. But yeah, it now it makes it a little bit easier for everyone. So
No, it's nice, and obviously as more and more are made, I'm sure they'll be added too, and it's great. It's very exciting.
yeah, no, it is super nice to have a spot to go to and start, grabbing scenarios. And the fact that they're coming from different writers and different play groups, so a little twist to all of them. It's not just the, Pete and repeat. It's a nice diverse selection. Thank you much for putting the work in, putting it all together.
Thank you. Thank you guys actually and girls for actually sending me scenarios that I can I just basically have to proofread them, adapt them from time to time, and then send them to layout. And that's I think that the scenario really shows the diversity of our community right now because they are very diverse. You will have all kind of scenarios. And going from the very typical King of the Hill to something completely delirious, and that really makes the richness of the game right now. So I'm really happy with that, and I'm proud to be able to put it a little bit in a nice how can I say that sheath on the website basically.
It's going to be good too, because as we are talking today about some of these scenarios. The scenarios we were talking about, you can find right now on the website. So if you want, while you're listening to this episode, you can go onto the site, go to the Play More, and you will find inside the solo and co-op scenarios, you'll find the four scenarios we're going to talk about, starting today with the mission Heroes or Sacrifices by Jeff Racka.
Yeah. So scenario that Jeff sent me during this magnificent pandemic that we are experimenting right now. We wanted to start having more solo scenarios, obviously, because people are stuck at home, not necessarily with their gaming group. Although I have to wonder how awesome it would be and how terrifying it would be to be stuck with your gaming group at home. but yeah, so scenario play typically on two mats with an attacker, a defender. The attacker is going to enter the table, going to try basically to go across the table, while the defender that is already placed on their half of the table, so the defender is basically an AI, will have to defend and prevent the units from crossing the table.
This is a nice scenario for solo co-op because it allows you to take advantage of forces that you already have. Some of these other ones that we'll talk about kind of require some specific things or specific heroes, which isn't bad by any means, but if you don't have a lot of those things available to you, this one is nice because it's a little more generic.
Yes, it's a very easy setup. It uses templates of trees, ammo crates that you already have in the starter set, for example. The buildings are, I mean, it's really easy to proxy a building or to use the template that you have also in the starter sets or the two player campaign box. So really, it's not, I mean, it's a very minimum effort to set it up. The table gives a very nice challenge in terms of setup also. So yeah, it's very interesting just for that already.
Yeah, and it works, like you're saying, it works off of the mechanic that it kind of employs is a deck of cards. So you basically will take a deck of cards, and you'll assign a unit, or rather you'll assign that card to each defending unit, and that's what you're going to use to help you determine activation order.
Yep, exactly. The randomization through cards is pretty clever, yeah.
Yeah, it's nice, and that's something that, you know, most of us gamers out there probably have at least one deck of cards out there somewhere, or I'm sure there's probably a way you could even get an app or something that would give you a random deck of cards, a random card pool, and you could write up a grid or however you wanted to do it, but or, you know, start doing magic tricks and just taking Sharpie and writing on the cards.
Yeah.
The scenario too has some special rules to it. It has the last stand rule, which has the defending units are disorganized and dazed, but know they are buying time with their lives. All defending units are immobilized and gain the skills brave and defensive tactics.
So that's the fun part of it, is that as you deploy the defender units, you deploy them always in cover. They are either on one story of the building or the other, or they are at least half of the units is in the forest. So all the units benefit from cover one way or another. So giving them defensive tactics basically means that they have also damage resilience. And that can make some very fun combinations on units that are not used to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And kind of the only thing in this scenario that you won't be playing is aircraft, mostly because of that movement rule, it seems. But it's something you could probably even adapt if you really wanted to.
Yeah, the aircraft could break a little bit the scenario, because in one round you can be on the other side of the table, but at the same time it's just one unit, so yeah, you take an advantage, but then it depends also if you can stay until the end of the round at the other edge of the table. So So yeah, it's, I mean, I wouldn't abuse the system this way. Obviously, Jeff tries to also balance it by saying no aircraft or trying to play an equal amount of similar types of unit, you know, these kind of things. But you can, yeah, you can twist it very easily. You can try to make a dirty dozen that is trying to cross the table with just 12 heroes, you know, and you try to resist the onslaught. Or you just play a swarm and you really try to save as many as possible because no one is left behind, you know. So this kind of thing. So yeah, the scenario is really, really interesting. It can be very, very varied and very rich. So the no man's land in the middle that doesn't have much scenery also can be very daunting. So you have to find ways to get some cover on this kind of things. It's very interesting. So.
Yeah, nice, simple scenario, straightforward. You can use what you got and have a good time with it. The next one that's on the site is Mission Red River. This one's also by Jeff, and this one is quite a bit different and sounds like a ton of fun, but it requires you to find a lot of cows.
So this one was actually created by Jeff during the Dusty Dinner in 2019. I was creating scenarios, and at a point I pulled a blank. Basically, I couldn't find the last scenario that I needed, and I had all these spiders, and all the scenarios were based on movies, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna create a scenario called Arachnophobia. And we stopped talking, and I put the spiders on the table, and I'm like, yeah, but I really don't know what to do with it. And suddenly Jeff like clicked and started like really bouncing ideas everywhere to the point that he created this scenario completely. And this is, so we obviously put the cattle as an NPC, non-playable character because we have cattle to sell. It's very cynical, but at the same time, you can really replace it with absolutely what you want. It doesn't matter. So on this one, really, the point is to have this swarm of whatever that is pushing through to grab some objectives, and you are the last line of defense. So when we played the scenario during the Dusty Dinner, we had people that were trying to cooperate on the scenario. So we had two players with two complete armies, basically. Trying to find a way to defend the assets, and then we had it ended with actually power gamers that were here and wanted to really try as hard as possible to optimize their list to fight the cattle, and it whatever the way the scenario was played, it was fun. So for the Dusty Dinner, it was obviously a success. And I thought that it was making a lot of sense to just have it as a solo scenario here, because it's easy to set up. Also, you don't need too much terrain. There's actually an entire half of the table that has no terrain or almost, and the rest you can just put some pieces of papers with numbers, and you can just push them around, and you're done. So very easy.
Yeah, and you know, if you're just listening and haven't gotten a chance to see the picture of this scenario yet, if you open up the scenario, the first thing you see in the map is one side, it says Defender deploys here with three basically objective points, right? The other half of the mat, every square has a cow on it. And that's the horde that's
every square but three.
It's ridiculous. And obviously, you know, if you don't have cows, you could use spiders or go to the dollar store and get the pack of skeleton warrior guys, you know, whatever you got, you know, Lego men.
I want to see that. If you do it with Lego men, please send a picture.
No, this is a fun scenario, and very straightforward. I mean, you have a special rule on the cow where it says they keep coming, so they're just, as they die, they come back, so you're always going to have just a ridiculous amount of cows on the table. Unless you can kill them all off, which is kind of the point. You have to survive eight rounds, essentially, and kill the cows. They take up a whole square, so they can't share squares.
Nope.
They have a base of move 3. They can't march move, but they have the dazzling speed skill, and they each have 1 HP, so they're not super tough, but, you know, you can't take them out super easy at the same time. And they're just going to keep coming. They got the dumb cow skill, which means they're going to keep moving towards that closest objective. So, again, it's nice. This is a nice objective. It's very simple. I love the backstory behind it. I love the concept behind it. You can use what you got, and you're going to have a good time. This is going to be a good one.
Yeah, definitely. It plays fast also. You will see that even with two players, we were having games that were 30, 35 minutes, even with 100 points of army. So because obviously the opponent is very limited in the strategy, so it goes very, very fast. So you can play and replay the scenario and not have the same situation twice. You will see that there are some tricks. Remember that one of the assets is in a building. So these kind of things. So it can be really fun. We really enjoyed it during the Dusty Dinner. People seem to have a lot of fun. So
yeah, this one was a blast, and I really appreciated the dazzling speed on the cows. I thought that was quite clever.
Yes. you could obviously replace it with a zombie save, but dazzling speed has this advantage to be also a save in melee, making them a little bit sturdier. It's really this idea of stampede of cows that, you know, even when you shoot them, they still don't drop right away. This kind of thing. So yeah, it's fun. It's fun. I like cows and goats.
Yeah, and this is a good scenario to test out your list against swarm build armies.
Yes.
So use this as you can use this as a training mission, if you will.
Yeah.
Not going anywhere for a while? Try swarm.
The smoke, it does nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
I like it. The next one, this one is, Jared, you wrote this one, right?
Gorilla with no name, yeah.
Yep, I had some help. Bunch of folks from our play group. I had a lot of input on it. This all started because of Nate. Last year, Nate had mentioned to us after one of the podcasts we were recording on, that he had some ideas for more hero-based role-playing type adventures. And we followed that thread, a little different path than what Nate had explained. So we sat down and said, how can we turn the inspiration was Doom. Like, how do we turn a video game where you had to go around and collect items to unlock, to get to the next level? How do we turn that into the table? And one of the things I wanted to do was have replay. I wanted to be able to play this a bunch of different times and have different strategies each time I played it. Not so much, okay, move here, do this, now move here, do that, and you start scripting this same thing. It loses its flavor, loses its fun. So what we decided was, let's chop the board up into 12 zones. So you take the 9 squares and just, you know, 12 zones of 9 squares. Put a piece of terrain in the middle of every zone and then scatter some smaller terrain around. And the idea is, the narrative is that, you know, through the fighting, we've got heroes from different sides that are stuck behind lines. They find themselves and they all want to go home, get back to friendly territory. But the problem is they've been fighting in a previously undiscovered Blue Crude's testing ground. So there's all kinds of their experiments roaming around. So what we wanted to do was, hey, okay, here's a mechanic to generate random pairings of heroes. And they have the choice of becoming one unit and sharing the abilities they have. You know, again, playing Dust, we're not doing, you know, homebrew. It's, you're using everything that's on your card or on the Enlist app. Or they could try to find some flexibility and say, okay, these two heroes can join together and make a unit, and this one will go alone. So now they have two activations. That's always up to the player. This, the way this is constructed, this can be played as solo or as a co-op. If you've got friends at home or want to play online, you can play together and try to make your way through. We also use a playing card dynamic to generate your opposition.
Decent amount here to unpack, but it's all fairly simple to follow because you set up a couple nice tables for it.
Yeah, we try to. We know it's a lot. I mean, this requires. Not everyone owns all the models, so we understand there might be some proxy in place. Using figures to represent the heroes and the opposition. But what ends up happening as you enter in your first zone, you're trying to chase down three elements you need to escape, and there's a plane that you've heard about in a faraway zone, and there's things you're going to need. You're going to need that map. You're going to need a compass. You're going to need fuel. Whatever you want it to be is fine. And you're going to work your way through the zones trying to get these items. And in video game fashion, these items will drop off boss characters that you encounter along the way. The trick is that you have to get it done in 15 turns. Before you lose your window, so to speak. So we wanted to have that mechanic in there to push the players to advance and not just play it safe and just kind of move up, inch up, inch up, inch up, and work their way through the zones. We wanted to add that apocalypse type movie danger element to it as well.
So how many mats does this scenario require?
Two mats.
Yeah, it's a typical 12x9.
Yep. So. And all the terrain comes out of two starters. You've got two ammo crates, two tank traps, and then your whatever you want to use for. You can use the tree tile or the rubble tile.
Yeah, that's super clever. The scenario, as I told you before we started recording, I haven't had time to play this one yet, but it's a fun one. Plus, I'm lucky enough that I think all the miniatures for the heroes. So, but it's really fun. The setup is actually way simpler than you think. Obviously, you need to read a little bit ahead because there's a lot of text to explain that, but that makes it very clear to play. So once you've read the whole thing, the setup and the gameplay are extremely fast. And because it has this video game flavor, it really plays like watching Mortal Kombat, you know? So it's pretty funny.
Nice.
Yeah.
And what we did to, again, add to the danger element, you'll need to roll a dice at the beginning of the turn to see if you're being pursued by a squad of zombies. So there's danger in front of you and danger potentially behind you. So you have to make some choices how you want to advance. Every time you enter a new zone, you have to roll on the chart. I'm sorry, not the chart. You have to draw a card because we've assigned playing cards to represent the units that can be summoned. Yeah. And you flip one over, and it tells you what to deploy. And then there's if it's a certain card, you'll have to roll an additional faction die to see which hero is accompanying that squad. And let me tell you, when you're being pursued by two separate squad of zombies, and you roll, and a Totenmeister shows up with another squad of zombies, yeah, it's good times.
It's good times, yes.
So as you've played this scenario, Jared, how often have you been successful?
I have been successful 2 out of 3 times.
Not bad.
We did some things the first time, and I realized, oh, that won't work. So we played it one time where all the heroes operated independently, and okay. It went real bad. Because one, it's random heroes. And there's nothing stopping you. If you want to play, if you want to pick your three heroes and go at it, by all means. We included, at the time we wrote this, this was last year. So there was no Carl the Love Hammer SSU, you know, Steel Guard hero with a jump pack. You know, there were some things have come out since then. And then there's a couple we just, we left off. We just kind of wanted to get the ball rolling. But we did it random. We rolled up characters. The first version of this game, we had pre-selected teams. We had, basically, we made five or six teams that were fixed, and they're all based upon skill sets. So we had a skill set team that it had three people with Berserk. Then we had another one that had three people with Move and Fire. And then we did a leader team. We said, let's put Koshka, Bazooka Joe, and Sigrid in a team and see what happens. And it actually worked pretty well. But
it does.
it was really scary because they're short range. They don't have – you can't just shoot these guys from 5 or 6 squares away. You had to get up close and personal. So those initiative rolls became really, really clutch as the game went. But
cool.
In the end, we decided, well, let's just go completely random. We'll put the types in the various tables, and then that way, when people roll it up, they'll have a good chance to get a nice, diverse team together. One thing to point out, though, is if any hero enters a zone, the moment they cross the line, so to speak, and enter the zone, it summons... You flip the card and you deploy the result in the center of the new zone. You don't have to end your move in the new zone. So there is a trick to it because, again, you want to be somewhat efficient. You have to stay moving because the clock is ticking down. Have to engage the heroes to get the items to get away. And at the same time, you need to get some distance because the way we did it's funny how folks can think alike without talking to each other, because in the previous scenario we went over with the heroes and sacrifice, the pursuit mechanic, or how the NPCs engage the heroes or the other teams, is very similar. Yeah. So we ended up having a similar thought. So you definitely don't want to hang out on the edges of the map. You have to choose your poison and start tearing through the jungle, and put some distance between you and the bad guys.
And that's really, that can make some really crazy situations where you're going to basically light up several boxes at the same time because you pass a certain way or another. That's going to pop some units, and then you're going to have these units basically chasing you across the table if you don't take care of them. Or you can be overwhelmed really fast, but if you go too slow, you're going to be overwhelmed anyway. So it's really, it must be a good stress provider.
Well, we don't mind making folks sweat for it a little bit.
Yeah.
Other things to keep in mind is, again, this can be co-op. You can have everyone play a different hero. The only thing, again, when we write our scenarios, we try as hard as we can not to, to stay in the lane. We were still playing Dust. All the rules still apply. The only thing we did, I guess that's, slight variant, is there's two types of enemies. You've got pursuit units and you have summoned units. The pursuit units always go last. They always they will never roll for initiative on the turns. Mm-hmm. We just felt that we had to, because the game can get messy. If you you enter two zones, you summon two units, you have this and this and that going. So we had to try to maintain some level of sanity. So the pursuit units always go last. If there's more than one, you just do a simple roll off to see which one moves before the other. The summon unit will roll for initiative, and we wrote into the scenario rules how they will engage. And we found it was easier to just make all of the enemies close combat based. Because the heroes, you're obviously, from different places, and depending how you, if you're running all together or not, there's, you know, it's tough. You know, you don't have a lot of extra wounds to share, so to speak. So we did include a healing, just like a video game, there's health boxes that drop. So there's first aid that drops off certain heroes, and you can pick them up and use them. And it uses the same mechanic that the SSU first aid helicopter, where you roll five dice, and for all the faction symbols you roll, you get to, normally in the game, it would bring back, you know, a fallen model from the squad. Here, you can disperse the heal points around and heal up your heroes.
Nice. So that's what question I had with this is, you have all the heroes form an irregular unit where they essentially can share a square. How do you determine when you have either a pursuing or a summoned unit is there attacking them and dealing damage on that irregular unit? Does it deal damage across the, can you kind of pick and choose who it's doing damage to, or how is that handled?
Yep. So much like playing normal Dust, the one rule we threw out was obviously having different levels of models in the same unit. So, you know, if you roll and you get Guilo, and then you've got, you know, a rank one, you know, infantry in there, you still form a unit if you want to. So don't have to worry about that. So, but just like a normal squad, the defender will pick where the wounds go.
Okay, cool. So you can kind of, even if you're playing with a team, you know, if there's three of you playing and you're each playing a hero, that's kind of where you got to work together as a team and decide how you want to do that. If you have Guilao tanking for you, essentially, it may be more beneficial to keep the hits on him.
Yep, because with his, you know, that way, you know, it's in co-op fashion, you'll have to figure out who's going to eat it and who can wait a little longer.
Be pretty tough if you end up with, like, Luisa, Angela, and Natalia, you're going to be taking some hits.
We played it online last weekend, and we had Luisa in there, but she was rolling so rough. She's only getting one hit, and despite her blat power, you know, and shooting at these full squads, she just had a rough night. It didn't go well for her. They switched over to Natty, and she started lighting it up. Oh my, it was insane. It had the team had Natty, Koshka, and Rhino, and they did a they were playing it smart. They played back, and they knew that because everyone, most of the people only had range two for their range power, so they were doing a feint. So they'd move up, get the trigger, the summon, hold back, see what the initiative roll was going to be. The units came in, they rolled for reactive fire, they got both actions, and then Koshka popped her ability where it makes the squad expert, and Natty went on a tear. It was disgusting. It was like 18, 19 wounds dealt out. She just, like, I don't know how large the magazines are on those auto pistols, but it was endless.
That's great. Oh, she's such a good character. Best 2 points in the game.
Oh yeah, definitely.
No, this is a lot of fun. You guys put a lot of work into it, and sounds like a lot of playing into it to get it figured out too. So this is a good one. Take a little bit of time, read through the rules, and enjoy.
Yeah, we wanted it to be a nice welcome to Dust kind of moment, right? Where you could, you know, bring someone in, give them their model that they're running with their card, and you know, you could still have use this to break down the basics of the game, of, you know, how things move, how the actions work, what you need to roll, things of that nature. And at the same time, it morphed its way into a solo mission where, hey, you know, if you can't make it to the shop or looking for something to scratch that dust itch, you can still kick it off.
I want to see you do. I think you got a good thing going with this, Jared. But the next one, I want to see the river in it, or the river from the Paradise Lost mats. Got to incorporate getting across that river.
Get out of my head, Nate.
But see, you could should do it while you're being pursued by Japanese cadets.
We're gonna need a lot more wounds.
You're gonna need, yeah, because oh yeah, I can imagine from here already.
The smoke, it's useless.
Everything is useless. They keep running at me and they throw 30 dice at me. Why?
But yeah, it's a lot of fun. You can, there's a couple ways you can take it. You know, you can put your own little twist to it. It's definitely a challenge, and it's hopefully has tons of replay for folks. And then if folks like it, we'll always drop in an updated team generator and throw in some more heroes.
Yeah, absolutely. So kind of moving on to the last one that's currently on the site, more to come, mm-hmm. I'm sure, because we got some great ideas, and they're coming. I got some ones I got to finish because I've been lazy and haven't done it.
Well, you were redoing your whole house also, so.
Yeah, it's kind of awful. I had a whole flood go through the top of my kitchen from a bathroom.
Oh, wow.
So all the bathroom failed, so a total bathroom remodel, and the ceiling still, at least, is no longer a hole, but needs to be finished. So, oh my gosh, that gets in the way of stuff. But anyways.
Slightly.
You know, it's like, for some reason, I think of the whole Jurassic Park line, life finds a way, but it's kind of the opposite of that. It's like shit finds a way.
Censored.
Shit.
Right, exactly. Censored. Sorry. Anyways.
Yeah, all those plans you had, yeah, that's nice. We're just going to wad those up and toss those right over here.
Exactly.
All the more reason for, like, in life, you have to have good games and good people to play games with and a good community, because it's just the stuff that keeps you sane, right? You just, everything else comes up out of nowhere. It's always something. Always, always.
Especially in these times. It's very easy to get overwhelmed, and it's harder to remember that you're not alone. So reach out, even if it's just to say help.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, it's the big point of, you know, continuing, even though we're talking about solo scenarios and, you know, having ways to play by yourself. I mean, again, be engaging with this. You know, if you're doing this, take pictures of what you're doing. Talk to other friends that you're doing this, get them involved, tell them to try, you know, make it as social as an event as you can, even if you can't make it into a social event. You know, use it as a way to share with other people and be involved in other people's lives, and just kind of keep that fun going and keep some of the happy parts of life, the things that actually bring us joy.
You're definitely on to something there, Nate. I mean, as we get to have some free time or some play time, you know, it doesn't hurt to take a few minutes to post up on one of the social media sites or on Dust USA's Facebook and say, hey, this is what we played, this and this is how it turned out. You know, just a few lines. Don't have to do the blow by blow 15-minute review show, but keep it more like SportsCenter. You know, hit the highlights, and as you share that energy, it's going to spread. It's going to get more and more folks engaged, and they're going to reply back and say, oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that, or this is what happened when we did it. And it said, you know, the tide will raise all the boats.
Absolutely. True. You know, we do this because it's fun, because we enjoy it, and share that fun and motivate others and put a smile on somebody's face. You know, it's funny seeing, I can't even imagine. I want to see someone put 51 cows on a game table, and that's just a good picture.
I don't have 51 cows, but I do have 51 Le Scorpions.
Ooh,
that's awesome. That sounds terrifying. With now you have to add the poisoned special ability.
Get out of my head, Nate.
You do like radiation where you reroll saves.
Nice.
Even better.
All right, well, we got one more to chat about. Mission Neighbors Dispute. Who knows about this?
Yeah. I did this one. So the scenario is meant to play on one mat because the point was to basically have people being able to play with only the one starter set that they purchased. And you have 7 Quonset Huts, 2 squads of zombies that are starting on the table. And you're going to have your team of heroes, only heroes, that are going to have to visit each Quonset Hut, clean the zombies that are in the Quonset Huts, and take possession of the Quonset Hut. So it's a scenario where once more you're going to have to move fast, but decisively. You're going to have to be careful not to overwhelm your heroes with too many units of zombies because they are extremely aggressive. The good thing in that is that the zombies are not full units. You're going to roll a die, and basically each unit of zombie that appears from the opposite side of the hut that a hero is in contact with will be a unit of 1, 2, or 3 zombies, depending on your roll. So for once, don't do a faction symbol. That's the only time in the game that you don't want a faction symbol. And then basically the zombies are going to attack automatically the closest enemy or the most wounded. And you're going to have to survive. You have 8 rounds to visit the 7 Quonset Huts. So depending on how you built your hero list, you're going to have to be extremely careful and extremely fast at the same time. So really it's a quick and dirty scenario that is going to give you a nice challenge in terms of pacing and, of course, firepower, because if you didn't bring what's needed to get rid of a lot of zombies, you're going to have some issues.
Speaking of the zombies, there's a good common theme that shows up in a lot of solo scenarios of the Blitzkrieg zombie squad. When are we going to see a bunch more of those in stock? Because we're all going to need a lot more of them.
First, they are in stock. They are in the Blitzkrieg army box. That was the official answer. The non-official answer is that right now with the COVID-19 pandemic, everything that is a shipment from China is extremely complicated. It was completely blocked actually for a whole month between March and April. So there was nothing leaving at all. And now we are getting back into a more normal situation shipping-wise, but production-wise, because of all the procedures that are needed with the PPE and safe distances between workers and this kind of things. We have a factory that runs right now with 5 people. So everything is a little bit slower, obviously.
Yeah, for sure.
And again, everything that is a shipment from Hong Kong is completely blocked. So we're really trying to get back into things, but the production has been obviously delayed because of all that. So I expect to get some probably this summer, June, July. That would be my hope. I should say July, August, because June is like right around the corner. So it's not going to happen. But yeah, July or August, I would hope to have a restock for the same reason. For example, the starter set IGN that has been out of stock since forever should be back in stock at the same time also. So
cool. Yeah, so, yeah. A little bit of patience, right?
Yeah.
I noticed the zombies in the Battle for Babylon box with the new plastic. They were very stout. I just got them primed up. They'll be joining the ranks shortly.
Good. I want to see that.
I propose an alternative. And Jared, you might want to do some research into this as well. Maybe we can team up for some ideas. But a good alternative in some of these scenarios to the zombies and the gorillas, stay with me, cultist saboteurs and Migos.
Oh. Get out of my head, mate.
It's an excellent idea, but it's going to need a whole array of gameplay because these units can be extremely destructive very fast.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Oh, yeah. Actually, for the neighbor's dispute at a point, I started thinking about the scenario, replacing the zombies with some cultists, but I was with the fire squad. I didn't even think about the saboteurs at that point. But yeah, it's something I have to try now.
Maybe we test it out. Maybe swap it out for saboteurs, and then you up the hero points amount.
Most definitely, yeah.
Yep. Or you throw a curveball and you take the hero generator off of the gorilla with no name and assemble your squad or a portion of your squad with that.
There you go.
I like it. Okay, then I think we have a scenario forming.
Fantastic. We gotta get to work. We'll do some chatting on that. Cool. Well, yes. No, I really appreciate guys coming together and chatting about this. There's some really cool stuff with the new Play More tab on the Dust website. Mm-hmm. Easy access to all these great scenarios and many more in the future. Definitely try these out if you haven't. And gosh, if you guys got ideas for solo scenarios too, we want to see them because now's a great time to try out all these.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a pro tip. When Greg never turns down free content, so by all means, send it in.
Yes, please. By all means, if you have any idea, even if it sounds completely ridiculous, even if your family laughs at you every time you mention the scenario, we will probably love it. So don't hesitate. Send it to us. Remember that we might edit it pretty massively if needed, but it will be used if we can use it. So don't hesitate. If you have anything that you have been testing with some friends or again with your families, we love to have that. We will put your name on it. And it's always good to have scenarios that are coming from the community because this is how a game lives. It's not just with the content provided by the publisher in a very, very formatted way. So,
the energy is different. I mean, if you think about all the things that you do, you have energy you spend at your job when it's work, and then you have the energy you spend at play when it's for fun.
Exactly.
The other pro tip I have is when you're creating scenarios or you're coming up with these type missions, you have to ask yourself, what would Frank von Stein do? Because he will probably wreck whatever it is you're trying to do. So like I did in the mission with I went through the jungle with a gorilla with no name. I decided, hey, you know how I'm gonna deal with Frank? I'm not gonna let him play.
I sense a personal trauma here.
He's currently staring at me. Our comrade in arms, Scott Waterford, printed a very beautiful Frank von Stein poster, and he's currently staring me down over my computer.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Frank, not Chris.
That's like after you've played this scenario 5 times, you finally unlock Frank von Stein as a possible option.
It's the hardcore mode.
You're right.
You're racing to the final gate. You're going to get through, and then you round the corner, and Frank's just sitting there waiting on you, like, oh, that's cute. That's nice.
Yeah. Suddenly the music changes to something ominous, you know.
I want to see, although I have one dispute I want to put in here. I'm very disappointed that Rosa's not on this hero table.
Well, like I said, this was just the first version. If folks like it, we'll be happy to throw in the second one or even add a whole nother column.
It's like with every successful video game. If you have enough players of the first one, you create a year pass, and you have basically add-ons coming again and again. So
because certain big hitters like Laura, she's not in that, you know, the first release. Yeah. So if folks really dig it, we'll have to throw some of the heavyweight champs in there.
Yeah, Laura, Carl the Hammer, these kind of things. That could be fun.
One of the guys out here that I play with at Discover Games, he painted his Laura bright red, so you'd always know exactly where she was on the battlefield, and you could move around her accordingly.
That is very, very, very nice of him.
Right?
If it's red, it's dangerous. So I painted my whole army in red.
Well, we thank you so much for joining us tonight, today, whenever it is you're listening. And we really hope you'll check out these scenarios. We hope you play them. We hope you'll tell us all about them. And we hope you'll share your ideas for cool solo and co-op scenarios with us so we can continue to make some great stuff for the whole community of Dust. What makes the community great is you guys. We thank you so much for that. And we will catch you very soon.
There was a turtle by the name of Bert, and the turtle was very alert. When danger threatened him, he never got hurt. He knew just what to do.